I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You know what time it is?
Your home for the best football coverage in Utah is on the KSL Sports Zone. Utah, USC. It's the Pac-12 championship game as the Utes look to punch their ticket to another Rose Bowl. Your home for the best coverage of Utah football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. This is Unrivaled, presented by G2G Bar on 97.5, the KSL Sports Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome on into your Monday right here at 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Happy afternoon to you. Boy, happy winter storm to you as well. I love it. Doesn't get any better than watching, what do we call it here in Utah? Some moisture.
Yeah.
Hitting the mountains there, Scott. Needed the moisture. Gotta get the moisture. It's not snow. It's not rain.
We need consistent moisture. It's good. Moisture. It's starting early. We're still in November, but, you know, what happens in the dog days of, like, you know, late December and early January. Are we going to just get that, like, massive?
I love how you give it, like, a Madden breakdown. See what you got here? You got an early system coming in here. Boom. We get hit by
balls there. Boom. We cross him. Boom. You know, like they do in wrestling. Boom.
But
that's a wham block.
That's a wham block. Look, I need some clarification.
What's up?
Just
help me out.
Kind of hit me when I was in Colorado. So during the game, right? The Colorado Buffaloes
got it.
Were getting a little chippy, right?
How?
Well, they were, you know, they were some personal foul penalties.
And yeah, but of, I mean, like, why?
So,
like,
so, well,
yeah, you can't say Buffaloes and chips in the same sentence. And
so
have
that's my clarification. So when they get like that, are they a Buffalo chip?
Yes, they are.
Is that what they are?
Yeah,
Buffalo
and chip? They burn hot. That's the old Pioneer fuel,
yeah,
right
I
there.
Know.
That's what they should. That's what it should be.
The Buffalo chips.
The battle for the Buffalo chip.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just a solid. You know, you make a solid trophy out of it because it was the Rocky Mountain Oyster Cup until
right.
People told us that was inappropriate. And I said, well, how so?
Well, I don't.
I don't know.
Have
what
you
that
ever
is.
Had Rocky Mountain Oysters? Pretty good.
I heard they're not good at all.
They're not bad.
I heard they're.
Depends on how you have them cooked.
I'm not interested at all. But with that, the thing is with this game against Colorado over the weekend, when it was 42-0 at the half, I went, these guys haven't been interested in playing football for months. You know, maybe since Carl Durrell left,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it's hard to get these guys interested. You talk about a team that – how many – when we talked to, I think, one of their beat writers last week, he said that it was 23 guys that had entered the that they lost in the transfer portal last year. They might lose more than that this year. I mean, it's just
23 guys
amount.
is a class.
I mean, that's an entire class.
You just
class.
Lose an entire class of players, and it's really hard. And not only players, but, like, your best players.
Yeah.
Like, some really good
that's
players.
Bad. Yeah, yeah. You know.
Tough deal.
It was a wild weekend because here locally, you know, in BYU's case, the expectations, again, I just go back to this all the time of what your expectations are as a fan. Before the season, BYU was put on the, you know, on the books as in Vegas as a 7.5 over-under for the how many games they're going to win this year. They're right there, Scott. And so I think that a lot of people who had them for 10 wins, you know, what was it that we were missing? I think the problem was is that as folks who were covering this team, you start to go, what were we missing about this team? And you know, when they were 4-1 and had just come off of that win versus Baylor, the reality was is Baylor wasn't the Big 12 champions that they were last year.
Right.
And when you look at where this team was and what the defense has gone through, and that we hear that Eli Satuiaki, before he stepped down this weekend, had offered to step down even before that. BYU's in an interesting spot, and I'll just tell you right now, this is a huge time to make a big hire and to spend that Big 12 money on a defense, not on just a guy, but to be able to bring in a staff, to assemble a group of guys that will make it to where you can compete and to be at this next level. If BYU can go to this next level, you have this advantage here too, because there are two things that are happening here, because, you know, Jay Hill's name has come up from Weber State, and I think that would be a massive coup. I think it would be awesome if they could get Jay Hill.
But why would Jay Hill want to do that?
What do you mean? Why would he want to do that?
Why would he want to be the defensive coordinator?
He would more than double his salary.
I know, but Jay Hill, to me, I think, has already established himself as a head coach. And I could see Jay Hill going.
Well, isn't the next step to be in a Power 5 program at the number 2's position,
actually,
basically?
I think the next step for him would be a coach somewhere.
I think if that Utah State job opens at some point, he would be that guy in line, and he would take it.
Or somewhere along those lines.
But
he's done a tremendous, tremendous job at Weber State.
But why not take that right-hand man to Kalani Sitake job in the Big 12 and start to establish that, and you'd make yourself available for even bigger jobs. And the money is one thing, but it's another thing to go, I think it'd be awesome. But I think you have to do more than just Jay Hill. I think you have to establish yourself at BYU and go, we are going to spend the money. We said we were going to spend the money, and now we're doing it. And this is a huge offseason for them to be able to upgrade that defense. And it has nothing to do with the fact that they were just – that. I mean, Eli Satuiaki did a great job with BYU's defense and probably capped out at where he was and probably – you know, the writing was on the wall, and even if he was getting better as a coach, it wouldn't have mattered because people had just kind of decided that's not the direction now that they're going to go.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
It's a tough thing for BYU. It's a really hard thing for Kalani Sitake to do, and he had to put it, you know, he put it out there about how important that this guy was to, and it is when you have to watch one of your best buddies. And, you know, these guys have been closely associated for a long, long time. When you got to do that, that's a tough decision to make. But BYU has got to get to that Big 12 level, and it's not going to happen for a minute unless they really, really get serious.
So to your point about Kalani, you have a responsibility as the head coach that you're not responsible for your friendship to your buddy. That's not your role.
That's not a thing, yeah.
It's not in your definition. It's not in the agreement that you made with the university. There's a sense of loyalty and all of those things to friendship. I get all that. I'm not saying that at all. But you also have a responsibility to the university. You have a responsibility to every member of that whole football organization, the players, everyone along the board. And so you can't have a friendship supersede everything else. And those are those tough decisions, and Kalani's been able to make them. And everyone should know that. Coaches know, look, if I'm not getting the job done, I'm going to get fired. I mean, and that's the reality of the situation. And there should never be a situation where you go, you know, I'm untouchable. Everyone needs to be held to a standard because the standard is, unless you're not having success, unless you're not winning, you're not going to be around. And Kalani's not going to be around. No one's going to be around in that situation. And so that everyone understands that, and it's the head coach's responsibility to be the sheriff, to be the enforcer, to be the person who says, you know, it's time for you to go. We know we got to put the handcuffs on and ship you off to jail here. And that's just the reality of the situation. Now, what I see in the BYU defense, because from a philosophical standpoint, I don't think it's actually all that bad, the defensive philosophy, because so many of these teams today are spread out, and you need some flexibility in your personnel to be able to cover guys in space in the passing game, to be able to tackle in space. You need guys that are athletic on those edges. But you also need the ability to stop the run. And it just felt to me like BYU was kind of short on both of those fronts. Now, whether if they had everybody healthy, yeah, maybe they're going to be pretty decent. But they just always felt really vulnerable to the run. And a lot of it was just because of the personnel, and maybe even a little bit about how that defensive philosophy was run. Because when you have undersized guys to be stout at the line of scrimmage, you know, you got those three big linemen, right? They can hold up against linemen, but now there's two linemen that are free, and they get to go run at linebackers without opposition. And that makes it hard if you're a linebacker to be taking on a guy that might be 100 pounds, you know, or 70 pounds heavier
right,
than you,
sure.
And pretty athletic. Like, you're going to get swallowed up. And the only way you don't is you have to be really athletic, and that front seven has to be very active. Like, you've got to beat the other team to the punch, and you just never saw – you know, a lot of these teams – the Pittsburgh Steelers defense built very similar on this philosophy, and they were amazing at it. But they had the personnel in the right places where you're always slanting, you're always moving, where you are is not where you're going to end up. And it's that kind of quick you know, getting in the gap and getting early penetration at the line of scrimmage was where those defenses are successful. And you never saw that at BYU. And so it really made it easy to run. So whoever they get there, and because you're talking, and I think you have a great point, you know, because money these days is has to get invested in players. Like, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to go buy players. I don't care who you are, where you are, what conference, you're going to have to go buy players above anything else. And you can do it. Like, you can get good players at the right price. But BYU needs to own whoever they are defensively. I don't care. You know, whatever system they want to run, they have to get the personnel to fit that system. And it's just so whoever the coordinator is, because number one, you go, well, why do I want to go to BYU unless I know what kind of system they're going to run and how do I fit in that system if I'm a player? You get the right guy in there, right dynamic guy, he can probably go out and attract a lot of people. Lincoln Riley's an offensive-minded coach, right? He has a philosophy. He knows who he is. And when he went to USC, he goes, I know what I want to bring here, and I'm going to bring it. And they immediately had success. And I think you look at maybe on a different scale but the same strategy that you would do at BYU.
Yeah, you can't,
so I mean, whoever that is, that's what I believe needs to take place.
You're at a huge turning point right here. These crossroads right now for BYU are an interesting spot. Look, you're going to – I think that managing your expectations for this team as a fan is going to be really important, because you need to understand that I think that this BYU team is not going to be – it's going to take a minute in the Big 12. It is going to be a brutal schedule. No one has to tell you that. Like, you know how it's going to be tough. You know it's going to be the most difficult road that you've had maybe ever in your program's history in terms of competition. No doubt. This is the most consistent and most difficult schedule you're going to get, and it's going to take a minute for you to get used to what that feels like week in and week out. What that feels like in November, which they haven't had to do. I saw this graphic that came up when they were playing Stanford on Saturday. This graphic comes up, and it was like, oh, man, they've won 7 or 8 straight in November. And I said, they also haven't played anybody in November.
Right.
You know when they had a tough time? They went 0-for in October. You know why? Because they had such – and some of those opponents weren't even, like, on that list of people who were super difficult to beat. Arkansas is obviously an SEC opponent who is tough, but they weren't even the toughest one. Notre Dame was like, oh, okay, they're pretty darn good some years, but this isn't one of them necessarily. But they have turned out to be a pretty decent team. I mean, that's an eight win team, and they have a difficult schedule. But you lose to Liberty, you lose to East Carolina, and you go, boy, that could have been a 9-win season. That could have been a 9-win. Right? Should have been a 9-win season.
Yeah.
And so fans look at this, which means you'd be going to a bowl game with the possibility of winning 10 again. And you're not talking about Elisa Tuiaki being changed over as probably defensive coordinator. If that were the case, maybe you do. But the reality is that this team, you're at a huge crossroads here. Spend the money to get not just the coaching staff, figure out how to get some of these really, really good players coming out of that transfer portal and see if some bigger NIL deals can come along.
You've
got to make it happen.
You know what you have going on right now? Like, and everyone should be excited. So the expansion of the college football playoffs now gives everyone a chance.
Everybody.
Like, so you – You can spin a story if you're a BYU or you're a Utah and say, look, we got a legitimate shot at going to the college football playoffs.
Right. It ain't gonna be this year. It ain't gonna be for a while, but you gotta figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We are here at General RV, part of the Unrivaled Tour, of course, wrapping the Unrivaled Tour up this year. Perfect day to do it when the snow rolls in. We were doing it when it was hot, right? When we first came in, it was the front end of the football season and how the season's changed, but you can RV all year long. So come down to the General RV. We've got our G2G bars out here. Do we still have any crumble cookies out there? Did everybody eat them? We got some out there. Yeah, we got some cookies out there. So we have some jazz gear as well. So come down, Point of the Mountain, that's where we're found. Get some crumble cookies, some G2G bars, and some jazz gear, and check out some inventory. More to go here on the program. Stay with us. Our unrivaled signature What Are the Odds is around the corner. No, not What Are the Odds. Weekend Warriors, Scott. It's the weekend, baby.
Yeah.
We got to go over the weekend. All right.
I don't think Zach Wilson's on the list this week.
No, he's not. No. We'll come back. More to go right here, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.